Jesus is there in this little place, and it's a scary little place. It's like it was almost like going to the deepest, darkest part of Las Vegas in the middle of the night. That's kind of what it was. This place that there was. It was a place they would call the Gate of Hell. And it was kind of on a little hill. It overlooked a little area. There was down where they were. There was a cave, and there was literally what the people would call literally they called the Gate of Hell. The people who believed in those gods at the time, they would come and they'd throw their sacrifices and then they'd run. They were like, because they were scared something was gonna get them. It was really weird. And Jesus goes there in that place and says, "Look, guys, here is the place that we're gonna take our stand. We're gonna bring the gospel." He says, "You know, we're gonna tell people that who I am, and we're gonna take the fight to the enemy." You know, a lot of times we think as Christians the idea is to be nice and kind and polite, and that's what God wants us to come into a building and sit in a chair. And we learn how to be polite people, and if we could be polite and not hurt people, then God will be happy with us. But really, that's like the dumbest thing in the entire world. That's like stupid. Like literally, if I can say that word in church, which I will, even if I can't, I don't care. I'm gonna say it anyway. That's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. God wants you to be polite. Now listen, I'm sure you shouldn't be rude and punch people and make fun of people. That's what you're supposed to be. But all God wants for you is to be. Look. When did we put up with the idea that Jesus died on a cross for us to be polite? Like seriously, if that's what it means to be a Christian, put a fork in me. I'm done. I don't want it. Okay, I have better things to do on a Wednesday night. Then go to a building and learn how to be polite, okay? Give me a break. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in the world, okay? That's not why I go and hear some guy talk and pray and sing songs, all right? I think God wants more than that, and it's true. That's where this idea comes from, Rise Up. So here's Jesus in Matthew, the 18th chapter, with his crew, with his group, his homies, his people, his posse, the disciples. And there they are in the ugliest part of town, saying, "Hey, this is what we're going to do." He says, "Peter, who do you think I am?" He's like, "Oh, you're the Son of God. That is right. On this rock, the gates of hell, we're going to do our peace. And it won't last." See, Jesus said, we're taking the war. We're taking the revolution. We're taking this idea, and we're going to run with it, and we're going to change the world. And with 12 people, Jesus changed the entire world. Everything was different after Jesus. They even split the time periods because of Jesus. Countries rose and fell because of Jesus. And that's what happened. There was a revolution, a rising. It was kind of tight. You know, I read a news story. My sister-in-law, she posted a story on Instagram the other day, and I looked it up, I checked it out. We were talking about it today with all the staff and the pastors. And there was this story that came out of North Korea. I don't know if you know much about North Korea, but it's crazy over there. It's like a communist state, can't really do what you want. I mean, it's illegal to have a cell phone over there. The tyranny. Literally, it's crazy. I mean, people are starving. It's nuts. They got nuclear weapons or something like that. It's a wild part of the world. Well, news story just came out of there that 80 people were publicly executed. They found 80 people who were breaking the law, and they took 10. They took groups of 10 of those 80 people. They sent them to 8 of the largest cities that they have. And they filled up stadiums. One stadium had 10,000 people in the stadium. And they put these 10 of these people, 10 of these 80 people in these 8 cities, and they tied them to a stake and they executed them with machine guns. That's what they did. One person there was quoted as saying it was so ugly you couldn't even recognize them afterwards, after they had been executed. And the news story came out of there, and it was reported that these people were guilty of some crimes. They had noted 3 different kinds of crimes. The first one was watching foreign movies. It was illegal for them to watch foreign movies. The second one was prostitution. That's cool. That's illegal here too. Okay, maybe a little harsh. And the third one was owning a Bible. Was owning and reading a Bible. They were gunned down in front of 10,000 people in the middle of a sports stadium for owning a Bible. Now, I don't know if you have a book on your lap that says Holy Bible on it. Maybe it's on your phone. Maybe you have one at home sitting on a shelf that has dust on it. I don't know if you've ever considered that could get you killed, but it did to a handful of people. It made me think of Jesus. I mean, you think of Jesus was crucified. On his right and on his left were thieves. Jesus, the Son of God, the only guy who's ever lived a perfect life, the guy who changed the world, he was put together with thieves and killed, executed, just like this group of people who were killed simply because they owned a Bible. Oh, yeah, that's the leader of North Korea. This is what happened. You know, it's kind of funny because when people begin to live their life for something, when people begin to do things for God, there's always a challenge. There's always an opposition. You see, God's given, I don't know if you know this yet. Maybe you haven't heard us say this. Maybe you don't believe it. Maybe you're too busy being tired and sleeping when people tell you these things. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God wants you to do something significant. God has people for you to speak to and to change. God has a purpose. God has a place for you to be in 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And it's great. It's out, like we were singing, into the deeps of the water, places you wouldn't even. If you would have asked me 15 years ago, Richard, where do you think you would be? I would tell you, I am amazed at where God's taken me, the places he's taken me, the things he's done, the prayers that I've prayed, the miracles I've seen. Look, I didn't expect it to be this good. I just knew I'd trust God. And the challenge is this, is that when you begin to hook up with God, when you begin to do things that God wants you to do, there's an opposition, there's a challenge. If you got your Bibles, turn to Acts in the 17th chapter. You know, just last week we were talking about these guys, Paul and Silas, and there they were. They were talking about Jesus, and they got thrown in jail, and an earthquake happened, and all these crazy things were there. If you don't know the story, then read it, chapter 16. But in chapter 17, here these two guys are, Paul and Silas, Paul and his crew, and they're rolling from town to town telling people about Jesus. And it says right here, it says in Acts, the 17th chapter, it says now they passed through a city called Amphipolis, and Apollonia. They came to a city called Thessalonica, verse 1. There's a synagogue with Jews there. So Paul, as he usually did, went into the synagogue for 3 weeks, 3 Sabbaths. He talked to people about the scriptures, explaining, demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. He talked about the cross with them. He said, hey, look, this Jesus that I preach to you, he's the Christ. He's the one. He's the man. He's the Messiah. He's the one that wants to save you from the garbage of this world. So some people, they were persuaded. They believed. A great multitude of devout Greeks, and not just a few of the leading women. Well, they joined Paul and Silas. They believed him. Put their hand up, walked the aisle, and said, hey, let's do this thing. Let's be a Christian. Verse 5, it gets a little interesting, though. But the Jews, the Jewish people that weren't persuaded, well, they became envious. They got a little riled up. They found some evil men, some riffraff, some people just doing a whole lot of nothing. They found some evil men from the marketplace. They gathered a mob. They set all the city in an uproar. They attacked the house of a man called Jason. They had heard that Paul and Silas, these guys talking about Jesus. They heard, hey, they were staying at Jason's house. Sleep over at Jason's, guys. Popcorn and pillow fights for everybody. And they said, hey, that's what they're staying at Jason's house. Let's do something about it because we don't like these people. The thing is, pillow fights were over. They weren't there anymore. He says, they didn't find him. They dragged Jason out, some other brethren, some other believers, to the rulers of the city, crying out, these people have turned the world upside down. They've come here too. Jason, he's harbored them. He let them in their house. And these guys are all acting contrary to the decrees, the laws of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. See, all of a sudden they got things twisted. Here's what happened. As things were happening, people's lives were getting changed. And Satan came in and he wanted to shut them up. Now, here's where it is with you. Is in your life, have you been shut up? Have you been stopped? Have you been prevented? Has Satan put duct tape over your mouth and kept you from going where you need to go. I mean, the question is this. Are you even talking? Are you even doing what God wants you to do? Because if Satan was here today, I believe with some of us in this place, he'd say, look, I got you to shut up already. You're doing exactly what I want you to do. You're right where I want you. I got you in the palm of my hand because I got you scared. I got you intimidated. I got you embarrassed. I've got you recoiling from what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, what's it going to take for you to shut up? What is it going to take for him to get you to shut up? A little bit of embarrassment, a little bit of gossip. What's it going to take for Satan to get you to back off? See, here he goes. All of a sudden, he says, I got Jason, I got Paul and Silas here. They're talking about God. They're doing all these things. They're changing people's lives. What has an evil deity got to do to get somebody to back down? What's it take? A little bit of temptation. That'll get him off track. What will it take? A little bit of pressure. A little bit of family issues. Some dude calling you a name. How about I just get people you want to ignore you? Is that what it's going to take? Because I'm going to shut you up. I'm going to get you to back down. See, these people raided his house. Could you imagine somebody in the middle of the night kicking your door down? Not because they want to steal your Xbox. Because they want to take your Bible and want to get you to stop going to church. People be like, oh, all right. I'll just live stream this one. All right, I'll just read my Bible alone in the dark. I won't go to church no more. Just don't break my door down. Just get the gun out my face. Because you see, the crazy thing is these people in Korea, they took it to the end, to the very end. Don't think they hadn't been warned. And don't think that there's more people in that nation that have Bibles. How many of them are going to burn their Bibles? How many of them are going to get rid of the Bibles to hope that they don't get the next round of executions? But how many of those people are going to keep them? How many of us would keep our Bibles if people started taking them away by force with weapons? See, that's a revolution. Let me break it down this way. Maybe that's a little too much. What has God called you to do in your life? To go to college. Hey, I think God's called a lot of you guys to go to college. What has God called you to do? Hey, maybe you're junior varsity and you've been given a talent of athleticism. Maybe it's time you go to varsity. But you're thinking, I don't know, maybe I won't make it. Maybe I just can't. I don't got time. How many of you guys need to pull your grades up? It's too hard, Pastor Richard. Look, I don't like this teacher, my homework. I ain't got time. How many of you guys have something unhealthy in your life that you need to drop? I don't know. Pastor Richard, it'd be really hard. I really enjoy this. Look, how many of you need to do something that God wants you to do, but you're like, I don't know. You've been shut up. You've been prevented. Somebody's busted into the door of your heart, and they have captured you. And Satan said, I got you exactly where I want you, because I found your price, a girl. Oh, that's what it's going to take to shut you up, a girl. I'll just give you the girl. Oh, that's what it's going to take for me to shut you up. I'll make it uncomfortable, because you don't want to do nothing uncomfortable or difficult. Oh, that's what it's going to take to get you to shut up. Is that what it's going to take? Oh, it's just to be inconvenient? Oh, I'll give you inconvenience, and then I'll shut you up. That's all it's going to take. I'll pay that price. It's worth your soul. It's worth your future. I've seen a lot of people's futures get flushed down the drain. Shut up. Because, oh, that's too hard. Oh, that's not for me. Church is for you. That's not for me, Richard. I learned that. Church isn't for everybody. Oh, found your price. Found your price. Devil pay it. Shut you up. Devil's paying the price. Oh, what is it going to get for Jason to stop this? How about we scare him and his family? How about we get a mob, a riot riled up, and we'll bust down his door in the middle of the night? Maybe that'll scare him. What'll it take? Oh, we'll round people up, and we'll shoot them down with guns in the middle of it. Maybe that'll get people to shut up. And the story continues. There was an uproar. The mob set the entire city into an uproar, attacked the house of Jason. They sought to bring them out to the people, but when they didn't find them, what did they do? Oh, we're not going to stop here. We'll just drag the people that are in here into the rulers of the city. They brought them to the city hall, and they cried out, these people have turned the world upside down. They've come here too. They're messing up the status quo. They're doing things that we don't like. They're doing things we don't agree with. They're doing things that we don't understand. They're offending me. They're hurting my feelings. This Jesus, he hurts my feelings. He doesn't make me feel good about myself. He says they trouble the crowd and the rulers of the city. They heard these things, so they took security. They made Jason pay them money to leave them alone. Then they let him go. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away at night to a city called Berea. What? Paul and Silas left because of the riot? What's the deal with that? I thought Paul and Silas were our heroes. I thought Paul and Silas don't back down to nobody. What happened? Brother get shut up? Did Paul get shut up in the Bible? Paul's my homie. He's my boy. He wrote parts of the New Testament. How are you going to shut Paul up? Paul don't shut people. Paul shuts people up. He don't get shut up. What's up with this story?
What's up with this story?
I didn't read this one before. Let's check this out. Because I know you're taking notes. See, when Satan tries to shut you up, when your flesh tries to shut you up, when circumstances come up and they want to back you down from what God's called you to do, what are you going to do? You got to remember this. Listen, when times get tough, you've got to remember that opposition comes to people who are making waves. People who bring change are always opposed. That's the way it goes. Because a person who's bringing change is going against the grain. They're swimming upstream. If you're going with everybody else, there won't be any peer pressure. You'll fit in with the crowd. You'll do your thing. You won't hurt nobody's feelings. You won't mess anything up. You just kind of go, and you won't ruffle any feathers. And you know that's just the easy, nice, polite. That's a Christian. That's a polite way. We're not gonna hurt nobody's feelings because that's a nice thing to do, Pastor Richard. Nice, quiet Christian. Now I'm not saying be rude, but I am saying this. They stirred it up. They stirred the pot up. They got all the chunky stuff at the bottom. They stirred that muh up, and they got them chunks up to the top. And that's how you eat good soup. What does that have to do with Pastor Richard? I don't know, but it sounds pretty good. Look, they stirred it up. Sometimes for you to live your life for Jesus, it's going to cause you to do what nobody else is doing. And that's going to cause problems. But you know what? God has called you to a life of problems. Why? Because God's got a life of solutions for you to be. So when opposition comes, you've got to know that you're where you need to be. If you live life and things are just a little too easy, nobody's bugging you, nobody's getting on your case, then you may not be living life the way you're supposed to. You may be fitting a little too well in with the way things are. Because life wasn't meant to be taken as it's given to you. If you only take what life offers you, you're going to get robbed. See, the people, it says right here in Acts 17 chapter, it says, the people, they heard and saw, it said they were envious, they were jealous. That's the thing about people who hate. That's the thing about haters. Haters got all the time in the world to make fun of people. You know, people that hate on other people got all the time to make jokes, to spread gossip and lies. You know why? You know why people talk a big game? Because they ain't got nothing else to do. You ever realize how easy it is to shout at the TV? Come on, Chargers! You could do better than that. How come everybody on your team gotta be hurt? Why it gotta be like that? Are we gonna go to the Super Bowl this year? Come on, Teo, really? It's easy. Got one handful of nachos, another handful of Coke. Just slurping it down. Easy to yell at TV when the people on the field are doing all the work. You got people giving you a hard time. That's just because they got nothing better to do with their life than to criticize everybody else. And if all they have to do is criticize other people, tell you how bad you are, why am I going to listen to them? Not like they're doing anything important. Are you serious? You want me to listen to you? When all you're doing is sitting there talking smack on other people? What are you doing with your life? How about you do something important and then we can talk? I'm too busy for this. I'm too busy to listen to you. I'm too busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing to listen to you tell me what you think I'm supposed to be doing. You serious? Log on to Xbox Live and do your thing, because I ain't got time for this. I'm too busy doing something important. So I look at people tweet all the time. They post all these pictures on Instagram thinking, what are you doing other than posting pictures? There's times where I'm like, seriously? I'm too busy enjoying this moment than to take a picture of it. No offense, because I love the Insta. I love the tweeting. I love the Facebooking. Don't do the Snapchatting. And I'm not too fond of kicking, because I'm old. Don't tumble either. But sometimes it's like, look, I'd love to take a picture of this and put a really nice early bird filter on it, but I'm kind of enjoying the moment. I ain't got time for this. I'll share it later. Later, Graham. All right. See, and that's the idea. Is look, if I was to slow down and listen to people being envious and jealous and mocking and say, oh, you're brainwashed, oh, you're stupid, oh, you go to church, that's dumb. I gotta slow down and talk to these people. But I'm going places too far, too high, too big, doing too good of things to slow down and talk to the people down here. All they gotta do is hate. Look, I'm not gonna get dirty and muddy with you. I'm too busy doing good things. We need to take a stance like that. Because look, opposition comes from people when you begin to make change. And oftentimes it comes from the people that don't want to change. And when you begin to see it, you've got to realize that resistance doesn't mean failure. Some people say, if I ever hear you say this, I will slap you. So don't say it around me. If it's God's will, then it'll happen. If you said that before, now is your time. Don't ever say it again. Ever. God wants it to happen, then it'll happen. And if Tinkerbell wants you to fly, she'll sprinkle magic fairy dust on you too. Maybe if you find a genie and rub it, he'll give you 3 wishes. And if you have one of those little trolls with the belly buttons, the jewels, if you kiss it, maybe you'll have a nice day. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like it's in the Bible. But I don't think that's the way it works. If God wants, look, God wants a lot of things to happen, and they don't. Why? Because ain't nobody praying it. Why? Because nobody's doing what God's called them to do. Look, if God has a plan for your life, it's going to happen because we get off of our butt, because we put our faith to action, because we pray it in, because we do the hard work, and because we make things happen. God is not going to give you an A just because it's God's will for you to have an A, because it is God's will for you to have an A in your class. But you got to do the homework. God's not going to do the homework for you. God wants your best friend to get saved. Look, Jesus isn't going to come to him in a dream and say, "Boop, saved." No, you've got to live your life an example, and you've got to pray the boy into heaven, and then you've got to invite the brother to church, pray for the brother himself. Pray. If he gets sick, say, let me pray for you. I'll pray you don't get sick, and we'll see what happens. And you've got to do the work of faith, and if you do that, then God's will happen. But God's will is not going to come because a golden goose poops out of his butt. If I could be rude, excuse me. It's going to happen because people will rise up and do the work of faith. What did Paul say? I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, that sounds hard. Yeah. It's a teamwork. God does his part, I do my part. It all works. And I know that because here it says in Acts 7, 9 through 10, it says, look, they had taken money from Jason. They let him go. The brethren immediately sent Paul away by night. Remember, this is the sad part of the story. Paul and Silas left the city. Sounds like they lost. Sounds like they got shut up. Sounds like they got shut down. Sounds like my brother Paul got his butt kicked. Did that happen? I don't know. Because if you flip about a couple dozen pages to the right, I don't know if you read the Bible often, but there's a book in the Bible called Thessalonians. What? Thessalonians sounds a lot like Thessalonica. Wait a minute here. That's a letter written to that city that had that crazy riot. Oh, let's see what it says. What? As you can see, Paul wrote this letter. Paul left the city, ended up writing a letter back to this city, to the church there. And it says, 1 Thessalonians verse 8 and 9, it says this. It says, look, guys, Paul writes, he says, look, from you, the word of the Lord sounded forth. Wait a minute. So they weren't shut up. Wait a minute. So even though there was a riot and they got kicked out of the city, something still continued to happen? Wait a minute. So they didn't lose. They didn't get shut up. Paul left to do other works. You're telling me that even after Jason's house got broke into, people got threatened for jail, they got fined big sums, even though people were mad, jealous, crazy, hating on him, you're telling me that things still happen? Yes, I am. Excuse me while I get crazy. For from you, the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only in the place of Macedonia and Achaia, wherever that is, but also every place. Your faith towards God has gone out. And we don't need to say anything because they themselves declare concerning us the manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, just because they had resistance, just because it was hard, doesn't mean that they failed. See, Paul had to leave the city, but Paul left the city changed. He left the city changed that a church started there, and people's lives continued to get blessed and changed. See, the greater the resistance, the greater the victory. The harder it is, the better the victory tastes. So maybe it's time that we begin to do really hard things, so we could see really great results. Whether that really hard thing is you killing your temper, maybe that really hard thing is you going for that gold, maybe that really hard thing is you keeping your purity, maybe that really hard thing is loving your mom because sometimes you don't want to, maybe that really hard thing is inviting your friends. Whatever that hard thing is, it's time that we do that challenging thing and watch God reach out in us and through us to see it happen. Because resistance doesn't mean failure. If you're getting what they call blowback, if you're getting resistance, if you're getting pushed back by what you're doing, that means you're exactly where you need to be. Because God only brings great miracles where there's great need. Lastly, if you're persistent inside of persecution, it'll create a platform. Pastor Richard, what the heck does that mean? I read a story about 80 people getting executed. Not just because the story to read, but because of the faith behind it. Look, it's a tragedy that those people were killed because of their faith. But because they refused to give their faith up and they died because of it, today I'm reading about that. And today what that tells me is my problems are really small. And they have a platform to stand and speak to my life. Look, if something's really hard and you refuse to quit, then people will listen to you. Because people don't listen to quitters, right? Look, we live in this place where you can say anything to anybody. You could blow up your tweets. You could blow up you could blow up your Instagram. You could put your pictures on here. You could hashtag till the dogs come home. And you could do all these things. But you know what the funny thing is about the internet and blogging and all this kind of stuff? Is you can say everything to the world, but that doesn't mean the world's going to listen to you. You can shout something from the top of your roof, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to listen to you. It might get somebody throwing a shoe at you and calling the cops. Just because you're loud doesn't mean you're going to be listened to. But there are some people that'll whisper, and I'll lean in to hear them. Because what they may not be saying something very loud, but what they're saying is important to me. I had this sister-in-law named Missy. She's really quiet. All the other sisters are really loud. Really loud. But she's quiet. Doesn't talk too often. But when she does, we listen to her. Not because she's the loudest, but because we respect her voice. You know what I'm saying? It's not about being loud or rude, but what it is about is earning the right to speak to people. So you want people to listen to you about Jesus? You want people to listen to the fact that you pray that you're a Christian? Then you have to refuse to quit. Because if you back down when somebody says something, some smack about you, if you back down because, oh, that's hard, it's so difficult, it's too expensive, I could never, there's no way that, then who do you, how are anybody going to listen to you? You're just another punk on the street. But if you'll stand up, and no matter what the odds are, and if you'll stare opposition and challenge and mockery in the face, those are the people other people listen to. Because I don't care how challenging your life is. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how bad your family is. I don't care what side of this track. I don't even care if you grew up on the tracks. Forget the wrong side. The worse your story is, the more you have the chance people will listen to you. I'm not saying you need to ask for it, pretend you have a really hard life. But I am saying this. If you refuse to quit, then people will listen. See, this story in Thessalonica, whatever. He says, all of Asia listened to you because of what you've been through. You see, that's why the Bible is still read today, because this Bible did not cost you $15.95 at the bookstore. This book has cost untold thousands, if not millions, of lives. There is blood on this book. They say that every year now, no less than 100,000 people die because of their faith. Today, 2013, across the world, no less than 100,000 people will lose their life because they read this book around the world. We used to have a drummer that, let me get the band up here. We used to have a drummer that would play for this church, for this youth ministry. And he grew up in Indonesia. His dad was a pastor. He said, Pastor Richard, you know, I remember as a little boy, 6, 7 years old, I remember my dad and packing us up into the car, get ready to go to church. He was crazy because his car had like Jesus written all over it. It was like spray painted. It was like all like hooded out and stuff like that. It had Bible verses. He says, Pastor Richard, I remember one day as we were going to church, we were driving through this town. And I remember my dad saying, all right, kids, I need you to get down in the car. And he remembers the sounds of screams and shouts, people throwing rocks, chasing him with sticks and knives and weapons, chasing his car down, trying to tip it over, trying to knock it over, trying to set it on fire, because it was going through this town, this neighborhood that hated Christians. He remembers being so scared because his life was in danger. But his dad praying and saying, don't worry, don't worry. As they were on their way to church. And then as they got older, the family moved to America. And his family began to be a part of the church. And he played drums for us for a number of years. He's old now. But I remember hearing that. The most difficult thing about me getting to church was asking my mom, Ma, can you drop me off? That was it. Trying to find a ride home. That was the most challenging part of getting to church. Trying to find a ride home because my parents didn't come. You see, it's not about how hard your life is. It's not about what your problems are. It's not about how difficult the challenge that you're facing right now. Because that's not the problem. The problem is, how big do you view your God? What price is on your head to get you to shut up? That's the question. Have you been shut up? Have they dragged you out of your house and you said, all right, that's it, I'm done. I'm not going to go for that anymore. I'm not going to go for that dream. I'm not going to try to do this. I'm not going to believe God. I'm not going to get in the church. That doesn't work. Because if it is, man, you need to get up, take the tape off your mouth, begin to shout. It says. It says that the people heard all throughout Asia, Macedonia, these other places, because of their faithfulness in the face of affliction. So it's not a matter of how difficult life is or how big the problem is, but it is a matter of how willing are you to see God's plan come through in your life. It's time to rise up. Because Jesus from the beginning said, look, guys, this is not going to be a really nice bless me club where I'm going to answer all your prayers and you're going to go on and live life the way you want to. He said, no, we're going to a war. We're taking it to the gates of hell, going in with guns blazing. It's going to be hard, it's going to be challenging. You're going to cry. You're going to hate it. You're going to want to quit. But you can do it. And let us just be thankful that nobody has tied us up to a stake because we own a Bible. You know, tonight, I want to ask you this. Have you felt like quitting lately? Have you felt like you've been dragged out by the mob and threatened? And you're just ready to throw your hands up. Pastor Richard, I can't get over this. I can't get through this. Pastor Richard, the pressure's too tough. Pastor Richard, people have been calling me names, and they've been telling me not to do this. Have you been on the brink? Because if you are, I want to tell you right now that you don't have to stop. I'll tell you this right now, that you don't have to quit. I'll tell you this right now. You don't have to shut up. You have to refuse to quit. Just stand up. Because resistance doesn't mean failure. Failure only comes by quitting. That's all you need to do to win. Refuse to quit. So if you're in this place, let me get everybody stand up in here. If you're in this place, and that's you I'm talking about. If you've wanted to quit, if you're in this place and you're ready to give up, if you're in this place and you feel like, maybe you're not ready to quit, but you just feel like you've been beat up for doing what God wants you to do, then today I want to pray for you, and I want you to lay all your burdens at the feet of Jesus. So if that's you in this place, if you feel like you've been living in that oppression, that difficulty, that challenge, come on forward real quick to the front. We're going to pray. If that's you, just get up right now as a band plays. If you've been ready to quit, if you're tired, if you're sick and tired, if you're just done, come on up. Come on up. If you feel like people have been talking about you, and they don't even know the story. If you feel like your prayers are just not getting answered, and you're like, God, when? Or when, God? Get up here. Get up here. Who else? Who else? Maybe you feel like Jason. Like, I didn't even do it. I'm just trying to do my best. Get up here. Maybe you feel like Paul. I'm just doing what's right, and I'm getting in trouble for this. Get up here. All you guys up here, look to your left and right. Look at the people around you. I know, don't be ashamed, because you're not alone. You're not the only one that's having a hard time. And I'll tell you this, there's a bunch of people behind you. Those are the one of two things. Either they're doing good, and that means you have people behind you that believe, that can believe for you. Or two, the people that are still in their seats, either they're doing good and God is working in their lives and they have strength. Or two, maybe they don't yet believe, but they need you to stand and show them that it's worth it. So tonight, if you're in this place and you're doing good, fine, hunky-dory, if you're good, if you're okay, then here's what I want you to do, including my youth workers. I want you to get up out your seat, and I want you to put a hand on somebody's shoulder up front here. Because we're going to pray. We are going to pray. So if you're in your seat, come on up. Put a hand on somebody's shoulder because we're family up in this place. I know that's weird. This is not church as usual. Get up out your seat. If you're doing good with God and you have a prayer to offer, I want you to get up here and I want you to put your hands on these people's shoulders. Come on. The Bible says that We're to mourn with those who mourn, that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. So for those of you that are tired, we're going to be tired with you. And together our strength will get us through. Because we're in this together. So Father God, you know, today if you have a hand on a shoulder, I want you to start praying for that person. You have a hand on. I want you to start praying encouragement over that. I want you to just begin to speak good, positive faith words over there. I want you to pray over these people. I'm not going to do all the work. So I'm going to pray. And you guys pray too. So Father God, pray over them right now. Father God, Lord, I thank you for these young people. God, I thank you, God, because Father, they're tired and they're ready to quit. But I know that they're ready to quit because they're doing a good work, because they're believing in you. God, they're tired because they're working hard and they're not sitting back and letting life happen to them. So God, I pray for them right now. God, I pray that you would encourage them. God, I pray that you would bring people to them, Lord, to show them that they're not alone. God, I pray that you would bring them the right friends. God, I pray that you would speak to their parents, their mothers, their fathers, their aunties, their uncles, their grandmas, and their grandpas, Lord God. And God, that you would cause them to say good things over them, Lord. So Father, today, I thank you that every person up front here, especially those who are tired, God, that they are valuable. God, that they have great value to your kingdom. God, that you have not forgotten about them, that you know their name, you know their struggle. God, you know their challenge, you know their temptations. And God, even though you know these things in their heart, you have not forgotten them and you have not left them alone. You love them and you are there for them. God, I pray that you take them by their right hand and you would lead them through the valley. You'd lead them through the challenge. God, I thank you, God, that you would remind them that, God, that sorrow may come, but joy comes every morning. So God, I pray that they would wake up tomorrow morning with a renewed strength and vigor over themselves. God, that they'd forget the failure of the past and they would look towards the victory of the future. God, that when they want to quit, that you would give them dreams of their future, that you would give them dreams of the way it's gonna be. God, that you would show them that it's worth the fight. God, that they wouldn't give up, and Lord, they wouldn't question, is it even worth it? But God, they would know that you endured pain so we can endure pain. God, that you were broken so we can be fixed. So God, I thank you that in this place, these young people will rise up, that you will bring their fathers back to their households. God, that you will bring their mothers back to their houses. God, that you will save their cousins and their aunts and their uncles. God, that you will answer their prayers, that you'll bring healing to their bodies, that you'll bring healing to their grandmothers and their family members. God, that you would cause change in their life. That God, just like it seemed like everything was lost in this city, but Lord, as we find out years later, that you did victory in what looked like defeat. So God, when it feels like they're losing, remind them that they're really on the verge of winning. Because God, today is not the last day they have. And the story has just begun. It's not over. It's time for a turnaround in their life. And God, you are the God of the underdog. You are the God of the comeback. So God, I thank you that there is a room full of comebacks in here. There's a room full of surprise endings. And there's a room full of people that are nothing short of victorious. Thank you, God, for the privilege of having these young people in this place. Allow us to help them and encourage them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. Somebody needs a hug. Somebody better hug somebody up in this place. Come on. Somebody better hug somebody in this place. Come on. Give some hugs. Get it. Get it. If you're in this place and you need to get the name or the phone number of somebody